Good to see all of you this morning. My big fingers on these small buttons don't always work together too good. I pushed record and it went to the calendar, so I had to get out of that right quick. It is good to see all of you this week. It's been a trying week for some of us, more for some than others, and I'm glad that you've made it through the week. Ready to start a new week now by coming together on the Lord's Day. Have you ever heard the statement, anything worth doing is worth doing right? I have, and I've had it spoken to me a lot of times. But it's also an accurate statement, and it's also an accurate statement to say that anything worth doing will be opposed. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is opposition. Because you can count on it. Anything worth doing is worth doing right, but there is always going to be something to stand in the way. You can start doing something good, the church can start a good work, something right, and someone or something will oppose what's about to be done. It's always been that way. It's always been that way with the work of God. Soon after the church began, in Acts chapter 2, God's people encountered opposition. Read Acts chapters 4 and 5 and see if that's not opposition. The book of Revelation largely talks about Satan's opposition to God's plan and God's people. But the New Testament ensures us, ensures you and I as Christians, we're going to be persecuted. We're going to face opposition just because we live a godly life. Paul tells the young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. They will suffer opposition. And persecution is a sure sign that what you're doing is probably right. And it's also a sure sign that we're facing the devil's opposition. You take the Jews in the Old Testament, in the times of Ezra. And we're going to be looking at Ezra chapter 4 here in just a moment. If you want to open your Bibles to that. Ezra was tasked with the job of rebuilding the temple. And he faced a fierce opposition. The Jews were opposed constantly as they tried to do a great work for the Lord. And you too, we too, are going to face, well, we're likely to face opposition. But there are things that we can learn from a study of the book of Ezra about facing opposition. The first thing that I learned from it is that opposition is going to happen. It's inevitable. It will rear up its ugly head. It doesn't matter. But when it does, we should learn first that God's work will always be opposed. It doesn't matter what it is. The world will oppose it, and we have to understand that Satan is behind it. Satan is always going to find a way to use someone or something to oppose anything that's good. Whatever work the church may put forward to do, the devil doesn't want it to be accomplished. Jesus even implied that you and I as Christians, we should expect persecution. We should expect opposition in our lives. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. One of the great comforts you can take from this is that Jesus said it's going to happen, so be prepared. And another thing that he says is, you're not the first. You're not the first that this has happened to. The work of the Lord is going to be opposed. It has been opposed since creation, when the serpent convinced Eve to partake of the fruit. The work of God has been opposed. In Matthew's account of the limited commission, in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said in verse 16, "Behold, I send you out as sheep into the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." And he goes on in the next few verses, down through verse 26, and tells them the things that are going to happen. It's going to be tough. It's going to be rough. It's going to be hard for you doing the work of the Lord. And he says in verse 28, "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Times are going to be tough. Not every day, but there will be occasions where the devil opposes the work of the church. And that is you. Inevitability. It's going to happen. You can count on it. The devil's going to try to stop the good work of any church. But I want to suggest to you that there are some consequences of this opposition. When you go back and you look at the book of Ezra, especially in chapter 4, we need to learn that God's work really cannot be stopped. It doesn't matter what the devil throws up, what kind of stumbling blocks, what kind of roadblocks, what kind of fence, whatever. The devil's not going to win. God is going to be victorious, and whatever work is set out to be done for God, by God, will not be stopped. But you read Ezra chapter 4 and you go, "But it stopped the building of the temple. It stopped it." And we're going to notice a little bit later that it stopped it for 15 to 16 years. So the devil won, didn't he? No, because eventually the temple was rebuilt. But you look at the case of Ezra and the building of the temple, and opposition caused the work to stop. But it was only a temporary stop. And you might say, "Well, 15, 16 years, that's not temporary." Yeah, it's temporary in the big picture. How many of you have heard of great works, great plans being made for God's work? Maybe some church has some big project they want to. Maybe they want to build a new church building or whatever the case may be. And you drive by there because you want to see what kind of progress that's being made. And you keep driving by there and you go, "Well, something must have happened because they've quit. They've stopped. They're not building anymore." Churches have tried to start new teaching programs, Bible classes, a program designed to help to reach the lost. But it doesn't get supported. And it's eventually dropped. Any active opposition may not be the cause of stoppage in every case. But the result is going to be the same in every case. Almost every case. Well, it was the case in the rebuilding of the temple, wasn't it? The work of God stopped. But in this case, it was to be completed, even though it stayed incomplete for 15 to 16 years. Opposition is going to be successful from time to time. That's the consequences of opposition, of the devil trying to get things done on his plan. So if opposition is going to be successful, why or how is it successful? How does opposition succeed? Well, let's spend a few minutes talking about that. We can learn that opposition can cause God's work to stop. That's what happened in Ezra chapter 4. The rebuilding of the temple stopped, and it caused the Jews to be discouraged and frightened by the very opposition they were facing. Notice Ezra chapter 4. And what's on the screen is taken from the English Standard Version. It says, "Then the people of the land discouraged the people of Judah and made them afraid to build and bribed counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. All the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia." Notice the people of the land. Not the Jews, not God. God wanted it built, but the people of the land discouraged the people of the Jews trying to do the work of God. Made them afraid to go out and build and to do the work that God had sent for them to do. Fear and discouragement are two factors here that can cause us to stop doing God's work. Now let me stop here and just say, it doesn't matter if it's something that's being done on a grand scale. Say Eastside decides, and I don't know of any plans, but say Eastside decides they want to build on or build a new building. Some of our own members might become afraid. Well, we can't, no, we can't do that. We can't afford that, whatever the case may be. But let's break it down even smaller. It may be some work that the church is trying to do. Maybe on an individual basis. Fear and discouragement from people outside may prevent us from supporting it. And that, as we mentioned with these Bible classes or programs earlier, could stop the work of God. You see, fear can keep us from fulfilling our task, the job that God has given us to do. If we lived where it was illegal to be a Christian, would we? I read of places like China that you don't dare show a Bible in public. You don't dare. And if the Chinese government sees you coming off the airplane with a Bible or know that you have a Bible, they don't even let you get out of the terminal. They put you on another plane out of the country. And yet I read of people in China who are willing to go to prison for being a Christian. I read an article here the other day where this man was able to get into China, and they had, we'll call it, underground services, okay? Underground meaning the government doesn't know about it. And this man was able to bring in like 10 or 12 Bibles in the Chinese dialect, and he gave them out. And he noticed that one woman didn't have a Bible. And an elderly woman beside her gave her Bible to this younger woman. He went up to this older woman after the class was over with. He said, "I noticed you gave your Bible away." He said, "Did you not want it?" She says, "No, because I've got it memorized. The whole Bible. The whole Bible." And yet look at the opposition that they face. He says, "How did you memorize the whole Bible?" She said, "In prison." He said, "In prison?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "When people come to visit us, they will smuggle in one scripture." And he said, "We have to memorize it and then destroy it, or our punishment becomes that much more severe." And she said, "I've been in there enough, I've got the whole Bible memorized." What about us? We don't have that type of opposition. We would call it persecution, as Jesus did in Matthew 5. But we don't face that type of opposition. And what would we do if we ever faced it? Fear and discouragement? That fear could cause us to preach a strange doctrine. It could cause many other different reactions from us. May cause us to lose our faith altogether. May keep us from doing what God would have us to do. We might be like some of the Jews who believed, the rulers there, who believed in Jesus but were too afraid to confess that he was the Christ. Fear of losing their places in the synagogue. They were afraid of being cast out of the synagogue. We notice this in John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, where it says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." We might be afraid of losing what's nearest and dearest to us in this world. You know, things like our families, our homes, our friends, our whatever. The list goes on. Our possessions, our jobs. Fear might keep us from giving ourselves completely, fully, wholly to Christ. In Matthew chapter 16, we read, beginning in verse 24, that Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his soul will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." And the same is taught in Luke chapter 14. You see, fear, as we read through the New Testament, caused one servant to bury that one talent, remember? "Oh, I knew what kind of master you were. I knew how harsh you were." You remember what happened to him? That one talent was taken away from him and given to the one that now had 10. And this one servant, because of his fear, was cast into outer darkness. His inactivity led to his very own condemnation, Matthew chapter 25. You see, fear also caused the whole congregation of the Israelites to not be allowed into their promised land. It caused the whole congregation to wander in the wilderness until they were dead, Numbers chapter 14. And above all, the fear of failure often keeps us from doing great things for the Lord. Some great opportunity to serve the Lord, to do some great work for the Lord, may come into our lives, and we begin to, "Man, I don't know. What if the project is not successful?" And we begin to question. We're afraid. What if the opportunity is for me and I begin to question, "Well, what if I fail? What if I can't do it?" These are the thoughts that often keep us from beginning or continuing to do God's work. And you know who puts those thoughts in our heads? The devil. The devil. Maybe worse than fear is the discouragement. For every one time that fear keeps God's work stopped, discouragement stops God's people 10 times. For example, a good work begins for a congregation, a visitation program. It goes well for a while, and then after time, interest diminishes. They get discouraged. Or at least a few do, and it begins to lose its effectiveness. What happened to that handful? They get discouraged, they stop visiting, and then the program stops altogether. Discouragement has always been a major problem for God's people. The best example of that is probably Elijah. When he went up against the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel, He alone, as the prophet of God, went up against 250 prophets of Baal. And he began to ridicule them when they offered up their sacrifice first, and nothing happened, remember? "Maybe your God's asleep. Maybe he doesn't hear you. Yell a little bit louder." And then when it was his turn, he built his altar, rebuilt the altar of God, laid the sacrifice on it, put the wood on it, and then dug a trench around it, remember? And saturated it with water to where the water had filled the trench. He called on God. And God consumed the sacrifice, the wood, the altar, and the water that was around it. You remember what happened to Elijah after that? After this victory over the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, he learned that he didn't have the influence that he thought he did. And he went off by himself, and he was so discouraged, so despondent, that he thought he had influence that he really thought he had and he hoped for, but he didn't have what he thought he had. He became so discouraged. I learned that if the mighty prophet Elijah can become discouraged, anybody can. Any of God's children can today. And it's something that we need to fight against. Fear and discouragement. That's the thing that was opposition for Judah. Judah, that's what opposed Judah and prevented them from winning. It led to the work of the temple being stopped, remember, for 15 to 16 years. And we don't realize that these attributes were human failures. It wasn't God that caused them to stop. The work on the temple stopped, not because the people of the land or the Persian government were stronger than God's people. If God be for me, who can be against me? Or because the Persian gods were greater than the Lord God of heaven. But it stopped because the people became frightened and discouraged. Now, I believe in a similar way, we can give up today because of fear and discouragement. And in reality, God has not failed us. He's not. But we have sometimes failed God when we allow fear and discouragement to allow us to be overcome. You see, the devil cannot stop God's work unless I allow him to. God's work is great. And God's work will be successful. The only time the devil's going to win is when we allow him to take control. When we allow him to use the tools at his disposal to cause us to be afraid or to become discouraged. You see, the book of Ezra, especially chapter 4, tells a very sad story. The people of God began rebuilding the temple. But over time, opposition came along. And because of that opposition, the Jews became fearful and discouraged. And that led to their failure. Not God's failure, but their failure. By itself alone, Ezra chapter 4 is a tale of defeat. But this is not God's last word on the subject. Because in Ezra chapter 5, we read that the work began again and was finally completed. I hope you understand that when we work for God, no failure is final. It's not final, and the job's not final until it's done. And ultimately, in one way or another, in this life or the next, we can win the victory. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 and verse 37, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Now, let's end with a couple of questions here, or one question. How many works have stopped because of fear and frustration? Do you know of any? Have you stopped doing something for the Lord out of fear and frustration or discouragement? What we need is to believe in the power of God and his ability to persevere. That's what we need, is to renew our faith. And no matter how dark the day may seem that we are in, always allow God to help us to persevere, believing that eventually God will give the victory. He's going to help us win. You know, that's what the Bible is about. Part of it. That's what the book of Revelation is about. Ultimate victory in Christ. It may be that you're here this morning. You've never obeyed the gospel. And it may be that you haven't done that out of fear. Afraid of what your friends and family, your co-workers may say. You tell them that you obeyed the gospel and they go, "You did what?" Well, why would you do something like that? Don't allow fear to prevent you from doing what God wants you to do. It may be that you've done that but you've allowed sin to creep into your life. And you keep putting off responding and confessing that sin because of some discouragement. Maybe it's discouragement in your brethren. Maybe it's discouragement in the world. Don't allow that to discourage you from doing what's right, what you know needs to be done. If you're here this morning, my grandkids like watching this movie called Brave. The little Scottish girl that turns her mama into a bear. And she has to be brave. Brave. That's what we all need, is bravery, isn't it? Spiritual bravery. To stand up against those things that make us afraid. To stand up against those things that might discourage us. I would hate to know that because of some fear of what some people might think about my actions, it would prevent me from going to heaven. I also would hate to know that other people have discouraged me to the point that it would prevent me from making correction in my life. Because that too can prevent me from going to heaven. If you're here this morning and you need to respond to the invitation, don't be afraid. Because that response will provoke nothing but love from everyone here. Whether you're putting Christ on in baptism, you will see a great amount of love. If you confess wrongdoing, it's not anything to be discouraged about or afraid of, because it will prompt a great showing of love from your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't let opposition win. Ultimately, that's the devil. If you're here, you need to respond to the invitation. I pray that you'll make your way to the front while together we stand and sing.